Kevin, thank you so much. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you that you call our name. I pray for anyone who's here right now that you're calling their name this moment. I pray that their ears would be very attentive, their hearts would be open to say yes to Jesus Christ. And I pray for those of us who have heard that call and have said yes. God, may you speak to us in this service, in this moment. May we receive your word that would give us clarity and truth. And God, you know our hearts, so I pray that you would heal broken hearts. I pray, God, that you would encourage people with the joy of the Lord. If there's anyone here in bondage, they'd be set free today. If there's anyone here that has been believing the lies of the evil one, the truth would set them free. I pray for those that have been on a wrong path, but I ask that like prodigals, they'd come home today and experience your love and forgiveness. I pray for those of us who are here because we're seeking you. I pray we'd find you. And for those of us who have been following you and living as Christ's disciples, might we be encouraged and re-energized to be witnesses and servants of Jesus Christ. God, I pray that this morning every one of us would have a real story to tell. It's your story of how you've transformed our lives. May we be living that reality and speaking it out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, good morning. I'm Pastor JP. I have the privilege of being the senior pastor here. And I do want to welcome you all, especially if you're a guest. I believe this morning that God has a message for every one of us. I really believe that. I believe that what I'm going to share this morning from God's word is a message for you wherever you are on the spiritual journey. You know, at Crossline, we like to say that everybody's on a spiritual journey. We might be at different places, but we're on this journey because God created us to know him. And there's a line in the sand, just like when we were kids and we draw a line in the sand and you're on either on this side or you're on this side. With the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's like a line in the sand. And for us to come into a relationship with God, we've got to cross that line. And step into the new life that Jesus Christ has for us. And it's a good life. And it's the beginning of our story as followers of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you might just say, honestly, in your own admission, you've never made that decision to cross the line. I believe that the message that I have to share for you today is to make that step. That to look at all that's been going on in your life and what's even brought you here to this moment in this service, to realize it's God speaking to you, to tell you that he loves you and that he wants you to be forgiven. He's calling your name, and today he wants to come into your life. If you're here, you've already crossed that line, and you're a follower of Christ, this is what God wants to say to you. You have a story to share with others. Your story is God's story. It's the story of life change. In fact, we're going to see that from Acts chapter 26 from the Apostle Paul. We've been unpacking the book of Acts this summer. Next week, we're going to close out our study. We're calling it Get Going, part of our discipleship pathway here at Crossline. Get in, get healthy, get strong, get going. Get going is to be living as a servant, witness, ambassador for Jesus Christ. We've seen from the book of Acts that this Great Commission promise that Jesus gave in Acts 1:8, where he says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. That's for us today. That's for every follower of Jesus. So the Great Commission applies to you. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, God wants to use you to give away your faith. And what we're going to learn from the Apostle Paul is that the best tool we have in our witnessing toolbox is our own story. You know, people can argue about the Bible, they can argue about philosophy, they can argue about the church, but one thing people cannot argue with is your changed life. When your life has been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, it silences all arguments because it's living proof that Jesus is alive. It's living proof that Jesus died for our sins, rose again from the dead, and he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. And the Apostle Paul in Acts 22 to Acts 26 on three occasions shared his story in sharing God's story. This is what's happened. We last looked at Acts chapter 20 where Paul was kind of saying farewell to all the elders of the church at Ephesus. And Paul had such a powerful relationship with him. He lived with no regrets because he said everything he needed to say. He lived as an example. He fulfilled the mission that God called him. And even though he was moving on, and in all probability, as he said his farewells, he was never going to see them again. He had no regrets about that relationship. So that's what we talked about, living with no regrets by being the people that God has called us to be, doing what God's called us to do, saying everything God has called us to say. Paul leaves that situation, is making his way to Jerusalem. He arrives at Jerusalem, goes in to worship in the temple, and some of the Jewish opposition that had been following him saw the Apostle Paul, seized him, a mob developed. They were literally going to kill Paul on the spot, and the Roman authorities stepped in to intervene, and Paul shared with the Roman soldiers that he was actually a citizen, a Roman citizen. As a citizen, he had certain privileges of citizenship, and he gave Paul the opportunity to kind of speak to the crowd. Paul shares his story, how God had changed his life. The Roman guard took Paul out of that situation and wanted to hold a trial on the spot. Paul said, no, I'm making my appeal to Caesar. And as a Roman citizen, he had that right. So Paul, from Acts 22 to the end of the chapter, works his way through one, or into the book, works his way through one kind of Roman official after another until he ultimately gets to Rome and gets to make his case before Caesar. See, when Paul said, I want to make my defense to Caesar, there was more involved than just getting off the legal charges that the Jews were trying to bring against him. Paul had an evangelistic passion, and he knew that when he made his appeal to Caesar, he was going to have the opportunity, the personal opportunity to share Christ with some of the most influential leaders of the then known world. And in every time he had the opportunity to meet with them, it says he made his defense. The Greek word is apologeimai, where we get the whole discipline of apologetics. And what's going on there is not just Paul giving a legal defense to be freed from the charges against him, but he's actually making a defense for the gospel. See, Paul's story was God's story. And what I want to talk about for us as followers of Jesus Christ is to use our story to share God's story. And again, if you're here and you don't have a story, today, this very day, could be very critical in your spiritual journey, because today could be the day that you give your life to Jesus Christ. So Acts chapter 26, using our story to tell God's story. Let me read the first couple of verses to get us into the context. Paul is before a guy named Agrippa, who was one of the kings of that region. He says, Agrippa said to Paul, you have permission to speak for yourself. So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. Twice it says Paul's making his defense. I said this is this word apologeimai. It's the same word that's used over in 1 Peter 3:15, where it says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always being ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you to give an account of the hope that is in you, but do it with gentleness and reverence. There in 1 Peter, it says every Christian is kind of called by Christ to make a defense. Paul's defense here is more than just a legal justification why he's not guilty of the charges against him. It's a defense of the gospel. See, Paul is using his story to tell God's story. And he's pretty excited about the fact that he's making it to Agrippa. Now, Agrippa had an interesting lineage. You have Herod the Great, who was the one who murdered the innocents because of the birth of Jesus. And then Herod the Great had a son, Herod Agrippa, who was then the king mentioned earlier in the book of Acts, who was eaten by worms. And then now we have Herod Agrippa the second, who was a kind of a puppet king under Rome, but he had a Jewish heritage. and he was considered to be an expert in the Jewish law. He was actually tasked with overseeing the Jewish temple and appointing the high priest. And so the Apostle Paul knew that Agrippa was someone who understood the theological intricacies of Judaism. And so while Paul is making his defense from a legal standpoint, he's making his defense to Agrippa in setting forth a case that Jesus is the Messiah. But the way Paul tells God's story is by just telling his story. And see, that's what every one of us can do, because every one of us has a story. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a story. It may be different than Paul's story. It may be different than my story, but it's a story. And that's why I said your story is the most effective tool in your toolbox of being a witness for Christ. You know, probably at home you got a toolbox, or you got a tool drawer, or you got a tool kit. If we're not, you know, real skilled in doing handiwork, we probably just pick the most convenient tool to use. You know, it's a hammer, it's a screwdriver, it's a pair of pliers. It's a go-to tool. Our go-to tool in being a witness for Jesus Christ needs to be our story, because you can share your story in 30 seconds, you can share your story in 3 minutes, you can still share your story in 30 minutes. It's your story. And when your story reflects the salvation story of Jesus, your story is sharing God's story. That's what the Apostle Paul's doing here in Acts chapter 26. So the first thing that Paul talks about was the life that he lived before he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. The first part of our story is our lives before we receive Christ. Acts chapter 26, verse 4. Paul says, the Jewish people all know the way I lived ever since I was a child. From the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem, they have known me for a long time and can testify, if they're willing, that I conform to the strictest sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors that I'm on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. King Agrippa, it is because of this hope that these Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that just is what I did when I was in Jerusalem. And on the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. Paul's talking about his past before he had an encounter with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you know everybody has a past? Everybody. If you have come into a relationship with Christ, there was a life you were living before that relationship began. It may not be like the Apostle Paul. I mean, the Apostle Paul's past, he lays out very clearly, was a very religiously oriented life. He was a religious zealot in Judaism. In fact, Paul was a Pharisee. If you've read the Gospels at all, you know the Pharisees play a pretty particular role in the life of Jesus. They're the opposition. See, the Pharisees opposed Jesus. They rejected Jesus. They turned the crowds against Jesus. But before we throw the Pharisees completely under the bus, they did have some things that were pretty good. They had pretty accurate theology of the Hebrew Scriptures. The Pharisees believed in the one true God. The Pharisees believed in a very strong messianic hope that God was going to send a Messiah, Savior. The Pharisees believed in a dedicated holy life. The Pharisees believed in the final judgment. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection from the dead, that some were going to be resurrected to an eternal life with God, and some were going to be resurrected to eternal life of separation and punishment. I mean, those are all pretty significant, essential biblical truths. So what was the problem? The Pharisees were threatened by Jesus because he took away their power base. And rather than being humble-hearted to recognize Jesus as the Messiah, the Pharisees became religiously stubborn and prideful and hypocritical and turned all of that zeal in opposition against Jesus. And Paul says, I was a Pharisee. So before he came to Christ, he was a Christ hater. And he persecuted everyone who wanted to be a follower of Jesus. That was Paul's past. He's pretty upfront about it. See, when we share our story, we don't have to sugarcoat our past. In fact, sometimes being very honest about our past is the greatest bridge to connection with somebody. And everybody has a past. As I said, yours may not be like the Apostle Paul's. You may not have been someone who was raised in a strong or strict or zealous religious background. In fact, maybe you came from the exact opposite. Last night, I was at a wedding reception. Rick Brodigam, who's on our staff here, his daughter was married down in San Diego, and I was there at the wedding and at the reception talking to different people, and a guy came up and was introducing himself to me, and we actually met before, but I didn't remember. He had come to our church, come to Crossline, when we first started and we were in the high school, and he was a friend of Rick's. Rick Brodigam had his life dramatically changed to coming to Christ at Crossline, and this guy, his name's Todd, he said that he was a friend of Rick's. He saw the change in Rick's life, and Rick invited him to come to our men's retreat, the second men's retreat we had when we started our church, and Todd said, you know, I have no interest in that. He had no background in church. In fact, he thought, you know, Christians were just a bunch of hypocrites and posers, and he was a very happy pagan. He goes, yeah, man, I was just living it up and very happy and just being a very worldly pagan guy until I stopped being a happy pagan and I was an unhappy pagan because he'd lost his job and his marriage started having some problems, and he realized he didn't have all the answers to his questions, and he went from being happy to unhappy to being disinterested in Christ to interested. And it was at this time that Rick invited him to our men's retreat, and he said, I remember I came to the men's retreat and you were speaking up there and you went up a victory circle and you called us all across the line. And he goes, as a result, I gave my life to Christ and my life was completely transformed. And it was just great hearing his story. In fact, as he began to talk to me, I asked him, tell me your story, which that is a great question to ask people. What's your story? Because oftentimes, what happens after people share their story, they ask you, what's your story? And you get to share how your story is God's story. See, this guy had a past. He was just a happy pagan until he became an unhappy pagan. Maybe you come from a religious background, or maybe you come from a completely irreligious background. Or maybe you're like me. I've shared my story with you all. I didn't grow up in a religious home, but I was like always a good guy. I always saw myself as a good moral guy. In fact, I have shared with you that in my mindset, God was like a college professor who graded on the curve. You know, the curve is where you throw all the grades up, and usually within any spectrum of student performance, there's like the one that's really bad, the one that's the best, and then everything else is in between, and you come up with a median, and then those that are on this side fail, those are on this side pass, and that's how you come up with a curve approach to grading. I thought God was only the one who could really look at our lives. There were some people like, you know, Billy Graham, Mother Teresa. They're obviously going to heaven. And then there were some people like Adolf Hitler, you know, Genghis Khan. They're obviously, you know, going to hell. Then there's the rest of humanity. And God would look at our lives, and if our good deeds outweighed our bad deeds, you know, we'd make it to heaven eventually. That's the way I thought. Which was really convenient for me to think that way, because what did I think about myself? I'm a good guy. So, hey, I may not be religious, I may not go to church, but I'm a good guy, and ultimately, you know, my good deeds are going to outweigh my bad deeds, you see? That was my past. So, everybody has a past, and so do you. And when you share your story, sharing God's story, share your past. So, think about your life. What drove you as a person before you came into a relationship with Christ? What were your attitudes? What were your relationships like? What were the influences on your life that kind of shaped you to be the person that you were in your spiritual journey before you came to a place where you met Jesus Christ? See, Paul is sharing his past, because when we use our story to share God's story, part of that is who we were before we came into a relationship with Jesus. Now, like Paul and like everybody else who's a follower of Christ, there is a place of encounter where we actually meet Jesus. Just like I say, there's a spiritual journey that we're on, but there's a line in the sand, and you've got to cross that line to come into a relationship with Christ. There was a point in Paul's life where he crossed the line. So Paul talks about, as he's sharing his story here in Acts chapter 26, how he came to receive Christ. And this is Paul's experience. Verse 12, on one of these journeys where he was persecuting Christians, on one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. And about noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads." And then I ask, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you've seen and will see of me." Paul had an encounter with the resurrected Jesus Christ, and it forever changed his life and marked the direction of his life. See, when we come to Christ, there's a backstory that leads us to coming to Christ. And God uses circumstances and people, the economy, our own inner angst, the preaching of either a preacher or a friend or a parent or somebody. He uses all of these things to present the message to us of Jesus Christ, Him crucified, and Him raised from the dead. And that's the message that we hear and believe that changes our lives. See, we all come from different backstories, some religious, some irreligious, some as moral people, some as immoral people, some from a dysfunctional family, some from a very functional family, some from thinking we got it all together to others, you know, thinking we have nothing together. That all of that is part of our story, but it all kind of then converges to that point of encounter with Jesus, where we see the line that's presented before us in our spiritual journey. Golfers know this, baseball players know this. Something in common with the swing of a bat and the swing of a golf club. The approach may be different. The stance may be different. So like baseball. There's some hitters, those of you who love baseball, they kind of stand with their feet kind of close together. Some stand with a very close stance with the foot forward this way. Some stance with a very open stance with the foot out this way. Some hold the bat very almost up high and it's almost tilted back over this way. Some hold the bat like this where it's tilted back this way. Some kind of come from a hips kind of swinging in, and some come from the hips swinging out. The point is, common among all good hitters, at the point of contact between the bat and the ball, it's the same. All good hitters, where they make the contact of the bat and the ball, it's at that point where all the body mechanics come together and they converge in the same way. Now, what gets them there is totally different based upon their height and weight and stance and comfortability. They may come from a different background, but once they make that contact, they're in that same hitting position. And it's the same in golf. If you ever seen guys swing a golf club, young guys and old guys, some guys have that perfect stance and perfect moment. Some guys look all herky-jerky about it. Some guys are swinging the club way back here. Some just going to pull it up here. But all good hitters out of the tee box, that the point of contact, it looks the same. You could take a picture of different guys swinging a golf club or different guys swinging a baseball bat, and at the point of contact, what's common among those that are really good at it, it looks the same. So what's my point? Your past might be religious, irreligious, moral, immoral. You may be an intellectual seeker. You may just be an emotional basket case. At the point of contact, the gospel is the same. It's the same gospel that saves everybody. John 14:6 says this. Jesus is speaking. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said in 1 Corinthians 15, I delivered unto you what was of first importance. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised again on the third day, according to the scriptures. You see, Jesus is the one who saves us. The gospel is Christ's life, his death, his resurrection. And every person who has ever been changed by God through Jesus Christ maybe came to that point from a different past, but they came through the same way, what Jesus called the narrow gate or the narrow door or the narrow path. It's only through Jesus Christ. It's the gospel that saves us. And the Apostle Paul, see what he's doing? He's making his defense. Yeah, it was his legal justification, but it was way more than that. It was his spiritual case for the gospel. He's sharing this with Agrippa, someone who had an awareness of the Jewish perspective and who actually lived in the time frame of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And Paul is saying, this is how I came to know Christ. This is it. See, it's real simple. Remember even last couple of weeks, I was talking about how when our staff team was doing our planning down in Mexico and I'm sitting out the beach by myself, the guy came up, you know, and big beach, no one's there. He came and sat next to me. I looked at him, started talking. He's speaking Spanish, I'm speaking English. He knows a little bit of English, I know a little bit of Spanish. And so I drew a line in the sand. I said, La Linea. Over here I wrote, Dios, God. Over here, hombres, Dios es amor, God is love. Hombres es pecadores, men are sinners. La Linea, Dios, hombres, La Linea, Dios, hombres, La Linea. Then, Jesucristo, Jesucristo, Jesucristo. The gospel's the same. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you became a follower of Christ because at some point you crossed the line. You met Jesus, the one who died and rose again for you. That's salvation. The Apostle Paul, he's sharing his story. It's his story, but it's really God's story. We all have a story. So for you, how did that happen? How did you come into encounter with Jesus Christ? For Paul, it was a supernatural event and the resurrected Christ met him. For me, I was sitting in my bedroom on a bed reading the four spiritual laws and realized this is the truth. And I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. For Pastor Greg, he was at a harvest crusade and Greg Laurie was preaching the message and he walked down and gave his life to Jesus. See, the point of contact may be different, but it's the same point of contact. It's with Jesus Christ. What's your story? See, because it's important for you to know your story so you can share God's story. Paul talks about his life before he came to Christ, talks about how he received Christ, and then he talks about what God had done in his life since he received Christ, how God had changed his life, the transformation that had taken place because Paul is making his defense. He's using his story to share God's story. Acts 26, Paul says, I said, you know, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I've appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you've seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus and then to those in Jerusalem and all Judea and then to the Gentiles. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. And that's why some of the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I'm saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and as at the first to rise from the dead, that he would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. Paul shares the fact that he had this encounter with Jesus Christ and it literally changed his life. It kind of marked his new identity and his new purpose and direction for life. Paul was transformed by his encounter with Jesus. God spoke to him and said, I want to use you as a servant and as a witness for my name. And then Paul even said it was in the course of fulfilling that mission. I was actually doing what God had called me to do, and that's what brought me to Jerusalem. That's why I got arrested by the Jews, and that's what brings me even here to this very moment where I'm making my defense. I was carrying out what Jesus told me to do. We talked about last week having a mission and having a real direction. Your mission may not be exactly like the Apostle Paul, but it's a mission. You know, it's kind of like the Blues Brothers. We're on a mission from God. If we're followers of Jesus, God has a plan for our life. He's got a mission for us to live out. That's part of that life change after we give our lives to Jesus. God is in the life change business. You know, I rightly so, we make much of this step of crossing the line. We should make much of that. That's how we begin the Christian life, by encountering Jesus. But that's just the first step of a whole lot of other steps. Living the Christian life is one step after another of following Jesus, learning to love God and love our neighbor, living out the great commandment and seeking to fulfill the great commission by making disciples. Our lives have a story. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, part of your story is what Jesus has done since you gave your life to him. How he's transformed your life after you're receiving him as your Lord and Savior. See, in small and sometimes very dramatic ways, Jesus changes our lives. For Paul, it was dramatic. I mean, he was a zealous persecutor of Christians, and then he became the greatest proponent of Christianity. I mean, that's a dramatic change. You know, I think about my life, and I didn't have that big kind of dramatic change. I can tell you, I was a pretty good guy. I was just, you know, a good moral kid. The changes were much more subtle. They're more internal. Sense of identity, knowing that my identity is not rooted in my performance, it's rooted in God's love for me. A sense of purpose, that it's not about just kind of living for myself, it's living for God and for others. And, you know, I haven't arrived, but I'm not the person I used to be. Pastor Greg has shared his story, you know, coming from a home where there was a lot of chaos because of drug addiction and giving his life to Christ. And then that being reconciled with his dad giving his life to Jesus and Pastor Greg giving his life to Jesus and then a reconciliation of his entire family. And then the course of his life, kind of establishing a whole new life, God providing him with just an awesome wife and raising kids who love Jesus and a whole new family system that's based on God's love, not based on the chaos of addiction. See, maybe that's your story too. Maybe what you've experienced in coming to follow Christ is freedom from some of those things that held you in bondage, freedom from addiction and freedom from dysfunction. Maybe your story is more having a sense of purpose that you didn't have before, or a sense of peace that you didn't have before, or a sense of being forgiven and no longer being burdened by the guilt. Or maybe your story is that you were kind of in bondage to some kind of religious legalism, and you've come to be set free to realize it's not about keeping all the laws and all the rules, it's about living in the freedom of God's love. Or maybe your transformation is, it's not about making a lot of money and living in this big house and living in this big car. It's about loving God and loving others and being a servant and investing in eternity and seeking to help others. See, everybody has a story if we've really been transformed by Jesus. And part of sharing our story is sharing our past and sharing how we met Christ and then sharing what God's done in our life since we've come to know Christ. Because we're learning from Paul here that we're to use our story to share God's story. We use our story to share God's story. It's the most effective tool we have in our witnessing toolbox. You may be here today and coming into this service, you'd say, I don't have a story. You know, today can be part of your story. Today could be the day you give your life to Jesus Christ. Today could be the day you actually cross the line. And in the future, when you'll be telling your story of what God did in your life, you'll be telling your past and you'll say, you know, I came to Crossline Church and there was this guy, Pastor JP, and he was teaching from the book of Acts. And God spoke to me and I asked Jesus to come into my life. He forgave all my sins. He made me a new person. My new life started that day. Let this day be the day in your story where you share how God changed your life. Paul has a couple more things to say here in conclusion. It says here in Acts 26, at this point, Festus, he was another guy who was one of the political establishment listening to this story from Paul. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. He said, you're out of your mind, Paul. Your great learning is driving you insane. I mean, Paul was one of the smartest guys in the room, and literally. Spoke many, many languages, was trained in not only Judaism and all the intricacies of the Jewish law, but in Greek philosophy and Roman history. He understood his times, his culture. Smart guy. And as he's speaking, Festus, kind of the way he defended himself against Paul's presentation was, you know, your learning has just made you crazy. Paul says, I'm not insane, most excellent Festus. I'm saying what's true and reasonable. The king, Agrippa, he's familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I'm convinced that none of this has escaped his notice because it's not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. And Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? See, Festus and Agrippa, they were smart enough to read between the lines. They knew Paul wasn't just giving his legal defense. They knew Paul was trying to persuade them to become followers of Christ. And gang, when we use our story to share God's story, that's what we're trying to do. Because we love people and we know God loves people and we want people to come into a relationship with Jesus. We don't have to pound the pulpit. Just share our story. And people are... they're smart enough to figure it out that what we're basically saying is, hey, if God could change my life, he could change yours too. The best thing that ever happened to me is Jesus changing my life. Wouldn't you want him to change your life too? But you share your story. See, your story becomes God's story. Paul here is speaking. And what's interesting is Agrippa says, in such a short amount of time, you're gonna persuade me to be a Christian? See, if you were to kind of read uninterrupted Paul's kind of story here, it'd be about 3 minutes. So this is the 3-minute version of his story. But in these 3 minutes, he really shares God's story. I believe every one of us ought to have a 30-second version, a 3-minute version, and a 30-minute version of our story. You meet someone and you get into a conversation and in 30 seconds you can just talk about, hey, this is what God has done in my life. And if they are interested and they want to know more, you can share the 3-minute version. If you have a relationship, a friendship with someone that you've got the street credibility, you got a relationship with the person already, get together over a cup of coffee at Starbucks, share the 30-minute version. But we need to have in our mind a 30-second, a 3-minute, and a 30-minute version. But all of those versions will be made up of the same kind of basic outline. our life before we received Christ, how we crossed the line and gave our lives to Christ, what God has done in our life to change us since we've been followers of Christ. See, here's the whole point. God is in the life change business. And those of us who've come to experience Jesus Christ, we're called by God to give that away to others. So I told you, what I had to share here is for everyone. If you're here today and you've never come into this relationship with Jesus Christ, why not do it today? You're here because God's calling you. This is part of the story that God is building into your life. This is an opportunity for you to say yes to Jesus Christ. If you're here and you know Christ, God wants you to be able to formulate in your mind your own life. It's your story. So take some time and think about, you know, what was my life before I gave my life to Jesus? And what were those particular circumstances that led me to encounter Christ and receive Christ into my life? And really, how's God been working in my life? What are some of the changes that he's made? I encourage you to write it out. Yeah, write it out. And actually, kind of in your mind, memorize it. You mean, you memorize my own life? Well, yeah, because you want to be able to share it. Whether it's 30 seconds, 3 minutes, or 30 minutes. Now you do all that so you can share it. So your friends, your neighbors, people you work with, who are those that, gosh, I've known those people for some time. I don't think I've ever shared my story with them. That's the takeaway for you. Share your story with the folks that God's put in your world. So today, whether we're people who are maybe just beginning to have a story, or we're people who have a story that we need to tell, let's take the next step. If your next step is to receive Jesus Christ, I want to give you that opportunity right now. In fact, let's all just bow our heads. You're here, not on accident. It's because God has been working in your life. Whatever the past is that brought you here is your past, but your point of contact has got to be with Jesus Christ. And if that's the step you want to make today, then make my prayer your own. Just from your heart, repeat after me. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Jesus, I believe you were raised from the dead. Jesus, I receive you into my life right now. Lord, forgive my sins. Make me a new person. Jesus, live in me today, tomorrow, and into eternity. Thank you that you've heard my prayer. Thank you that you've answered my prayer. And thank you that you'll never leave me. God, I pray for every one of us here that our story would be your story, and we'd be able to share it with others. And I ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen.